Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
Have you ever wondered how you could get help if you found yourself watching more pornography and knowing it was wrong? Well, today we're going to be talking with two people from First Light St. Louis, Sean Maney, who's the executive director, and Karen Kahlberg, and she heads up the ministry to spouses who are dealing with the sexual betrayal of their husbands who might be involved in pornography. Welcome to Encounter.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
How large is the problem today with pornography?
Sadly, pornography now is just a normal part of our culture. If you look at the top 20 most visited websites of 2022, five of them are explicitly pornographic. So the world's largest porn site had more visits to it last year than Amazon had its visits. So millions and millions of people logging onto these sites every day. So what that's mean is that for most people, pornography is here. Younger people particularly know this, so they talk about it, and then they share videos, they look at porn and pass it in their social media, and it's just become very kind of common. Now, in the church, where we believe that pornography is sinful, obviously there are people that say no and don't turn to pornography, but the stats are still pretty discouraging. That overall, if we look at kind of how it breaks down with ages, I tend to say in most churches that are multi-generational, you probably are expecting about half the men to have some type of ongoing struggle with pornography. That can mean anything from falling into it a few times a year to very compulsive using of it, where they're using multiple times a week. So it's pretty standard, especially amongst men. Young women is the fastest growing demographic using pornography.
Really?
Yes. And which is a lot of people are surprised by. Now, they're the fastest growing because there's not really much more room for the men to grow because so many men, you know, use it. But now young women are accounting, some statistics are saying about one in four every visitor to the pornography sites are now women.
Karen, why do you think people are going to pornography more than maybe they used to? What is the draw?
Oh, that's such a good question. And I think it would vary depending on the person. But the conversations that I've had with people is that they are looking for something that they may not be getting in life. It could be connection, it could be validation and affirmation, or someone desiring them. I think that people are searching for something and they're finding it in porn to a certain extent, but not to the fullest. I don't know, Sean, I feel like you would be a better person to answer that question.
I think that's a good start, Karen. I would start with just the fact, Judy, that now it is so, so easy. I mean, with the advent of computers and the internet and pornography being so accessible, and it's free, if you have a connection to the internet, mm-hmm. it's so easy for people just to kind of go and say, what can I find? What can I see? So most people are exposed to porn very young. The average age is still considered around 11. I think that's a little high. I think a lot of people are getting exposed to porn earlier. Mm-hmm. And we're already then seeing, especially for young men, if you expose them to something that's so sexually stimulating at such a innocent time of life, and they don't really know how to handle that, it has a strong draw. It makes them feel very good. And so then they naturally go back to it, and they begin to go to porn more and more as a way to make themselves feel better.
First Light came about how?
First Light came about because a group of concerned pastors and counselors and some others in the St. Louis area in the late 90s wanted there to be a safe place for those who were struggling with what the Bible taught about sexuality to be able to come and find Christian support. So whether that was homosexuality, pornography, a lot of times Christians are scared to tell their own community because they fear being ostracized or treated badly or just simply embarrassed. So we wanted to find a way that we could invite them to come forward and then join anonymous groups where we could pray for them and encourage them in what the Bible says and help them to stay out of whatever kind of sexual sin they were entangled in.
What do you do at First Light then for those people that are addicted to pornography? And how do you even get them to recognize enough to come in to get help?
Thank you, Judy. I think that's the kind of most important question that we can be talking about is how can we help people? One of the more troubling dynamics that we're seeing that's related to now how ubiquitous pornography is that since so many people use it at some level, they don't consider getting help unless their lives really fall apart. So at First Light, what we're seeing more and more of are people who come to us who said, oh, I always just thought this was just kind of an innocent thing. I didn't think I was going to have a negative consequence. But then I started using it at work and I got fired. Or I was using it on the church computer and now it's caused a scandal at my church. And most commonly, a spouse who might have some sense of like, oh, my husband may have struggled with this a little bit in the past, they find out what the full extent is and what their husbands are actually looking at. And that's a very devastating experience. And it can wreck a lot of marriages. Mm-hmm. So we get men coming to us at that stage where they've said, now this is very serious. And now I really need to get help. It is always my longing, especially as a pastor and just someone who cares, to invite people to come and get help a long time before that. Porn is taking joy out of their life. It's really damaging their relationships and them in deep spiritual ways. And I want to help them. So if there's somebody out there and they're just saying, hey, I just use some of the time, but I've tried the easy stops. I've kind of tried a little filter on my computer, or I had the accountability partner, but it didn't help, and I need to do more. I really hope they won't wait until their lives are falling apart, that they'll come on in and get help.
So what does getting help really entail? Like, from men, and then Karen, if you could talk about the spouse program.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm not going to hide this. I think it takes a lot more work than what many people, even people in the church, believe it takes. Often we have given out the message that if you're using porn, you get a little help, read a book, get some software, maybe have an accountability partner. And after a few months of that, it's going to go away. You're just going to be able to stop it. What we're finding is that when young people are coming to us now and they have been really shaping their brains for easily a decade by the time I might get them as a 22-year-old. So for 10 years, probably, they've been looking at high-speed internet porn for hours and hours and hours through these years of development. Their brains are really adapted to wanting to go back to porn and to think about what porn is with sex. And so it takes a lot more than just kind of coming in and saying, hey, we have a buddy for you to call every day. We're going to put, you know, help you put some filters on. We're going to obviously pray with you, which we do. So we bring people into a very comprehensive program. When somebody comes into First Light, what they first do is they meet with one of our team, one of our staff, normally my colleague, David Noble, and get a sense of their story, talk about what's been going on. And then we enfold them into a whole community because they're going to need more than just one or two people or maybe even just one like time where they can kind of reach in during the week. So once they're in our community, we have daily meetings. Mm-hmm. We have over 20 right now. About two-thirds of them are online, but the other third is in person. And those who join our community, they can go to a meeting every single day if they need to. And that's an old kind of an addiction model, doing like 90 and 90, maybe mm-hmm. just to start, like go mm-hmm. and connect with people and men and go over the principles and think about why we're doing this for the Lord. And it takes a lot of work. Then we work with them even further. We invite them to join very intensive groups, which are led by staff and our trained volunteers. And that's where we're going in and saying, well, what is the pattern here? Why does this keep coming back in your life? How do we help you get in front of this? And begin also to unearth, where did this come from? Why did you begin to use porn, particularly in your story? What's happening with you so that we can heal some of that and help them have a better understanding? Now, we do that then in conjunction with also helping them realize things like, it's going to take more than you saying to your wife, hey, I haven't looked at porn for 3 weeks. Why haven't you forgiven me? It's going to take a while to rebuild their relationship, and we have to walk with them in that. So we do that on a discipleship side. We also have our own in-house clinical side. We have a counseling center, and so we often have people doing counseling with us while they're also in our discipleship groups and in our wider community. Obviously, I work mostly with the men, and then Karen works with the spouses.
Hey, we're going to take a break and maybe talk more with Karen, you on the spouse program side, what you find and how you help spouses through the program with their spouse being involved with pornography. But first of all, before we go to the break, Sean, if someone's listening and they say, well, how do I contact First Light St. Louis? How do they do that?
The easiest way is just to go online and find our website. So just put in First Light St. Louis, and it should be the first thing that comes up. But you are also always welcome to call us. Our main number is 314-749-4937.
That's 314-749-4937 or firstlightstlouis.org. I'm Judy Redlich. Hey, we will be back right after this break with more of Encounter. Please stay tuned, won't you?
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
I'm Judy Redlich. We're back. This is Encounter. My guests are from First Light St. Louis, a ministry devoted to helping people that are entrapped in porn. Now, we talked a lot in the first segment about porn in general. We talked about some of the programs that First Light has to offer. Sean Maney is the executive director of First Light, but Karen Kohlberg works with the spouses and the spouse program. Tell our listeners, Karen, what is your program? What do you do and how does that work?
I work with the spouses who have experienced sexual betrayal in their marriage. So that includes porn, but it also includes all kinds of infidelity.
So how do you see porn as being a sexual betrayal to a woman?
Oh, that's a good question. I have had people tell me, you know, it's not like he's acting out with another person. It's really not as bad as it could be if he was. But it's interesting to note that I would say all of the women coming in at this point they feel disoriented when they find out that their husband is looking at other women. And so it, for them, it feels like their relationship has turned upside down. And so oftentimes, it's a relational disorientation that they feel because they come into the marriage thinking, this is the person I am going to trust the rest of my life with. And then they find out, actually, I can't trust him. He's been lying to me. He's been looking at naked women or sleeping with other women. And if I can't trust him, who can I trust? I can't even trust myself because I trusted the wrong man. And so when they come in, there's this shattering of their trust, and they're trying to figure out how to find level ground again.
What are some of the signs of pornography in the home? As our listeners might be thinking, well, I wonder what is happening in my home that I really don't know about. What are some of the maybe the more subtle signs?
This makes me think of two things. I think it's true that women should be paying attention to what's going on. At the same time, one of the factors or the things that happen with women after they find out their husband's been acting out in some way is they become hypervigilant. And they try to pay attention to every tiny little detail. And so as I answer this question, I know women may hear this and fall on different parts of the spectrum. They may start wondering and questioning, can I trust this man, when there's no doubt at the moment? So I do want to encourage women to be careful, because a lot of times we want to prevent disaster, but if we go looking for disaster, it's not always helpful to us either. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times it's a break in connection that you want to be aware of. A lot of us work really hard to establish connection and being the kind of wife that every man wants. But marriage that God designed is supposed to be between two people, both people giving, both people sacrificing, both people delighting in the other person. And so feeling that sense of disconnection, not knowing what the other spouse is doing for long periods of time, that is one of the signs as well. I think that just starting with those things.
Mm-hmm. You have anything to add, Sean?
A little. I think if you're looking for signs in a relationship, you don't want to fall into the trap of thinking that that's a pattern that you can always see.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, people are going to be very surprised. And I don't want to set people up to think, well, I should have known better. I should have seen the signs.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to hide pornography use. It happens in so many different kinds of relationships that it's not out there, kind of something you should be able to just figure out. So it's going to come out one of two ways. Either there's going to be an accidental discovery where someone, you know, gets on a computer and something wasn't closed and they find out about it, or they walk in on someone, or someone's going to feel convicted to come tell and have a disclosure and sharing that they have been doing it. Disclosures are always better. To say it's there and to be in front. In terms of what porn does to some relationships, there are those that can be very sexualized. So there's the thought that the porn is just feeding the relationship, and there could be a lot of demand for sex in the marriage. But at the same time, a lot of guys who become very addicted to porn stop being interested in sex with their wives because it doesn't compete with all the visual stimulation and maybe all of the kind of the storylines that they now find erotic with pornography. And so it could be one or the other. It could be in the middle, right? So the main thing is a marriage talking about it and not talking about it like, oh, of course not us. Like, that could never be us. But this is very common.
So how do you start a conversation with your spouse about it if you don't even know if they are involved, but you want to find out, you know, I want to make sure that I'm on the right track. We've been married how many years? And I don't know. I would like to find out where we stand.
I think it's just really easy to say, hey, this is something that's new in our culture. Maybe it wasn't as much of a concern if you've been married for many years, but it's here now. And if you are starting off in your marriage, you should be having conversations about it from the get-go.
Yeah.
If you've been married for many years, it's time to start. And it's really as simple as pornography is a common thing in our culture. And I just like to hear how you feel about it. Like, what are you doing? Does it have a pull for you? Have you looked at it and then, you know, repented and stopped? What is happening? But it's a sign of the relationship that if you could talk about it in a healthy way and a couple feels joined in with it, going, this was a bad thing, but we want to deal with it together, that's a really good sign. What would probably be more of a troubling sign would be a lot of defensiveness if a spouse brings it up, like, don't ask me that, or what are you doing, or, you know, I could never be that type of person. That would actually worry me
a
little
more.
That
would be a bigger trigger.
Yeah, right.
A warning sign.
That's those are great lead-ins. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. If a wife thinks that her spouse is into pornography, what would be some first steps, Karen, that she could do?
I think what we often advise women is to find connection with somebody who can hold your hand and comfort you during this time. What women often experience are very big emotions, sometimes roller coaster emotions. They might swing from sadness to anger in the blink of an eye. Most women are grieving their experience and trying to find steady ground again. And so we encourage women, when they reach out to us, like, come in, we'll have a conversation to see how you're doing. And let's put you in connection with some other women who have also walked this path. And so we welcome them into some groups where they can express their feelings to people who understand and who are safe, because some people find it difficult to even talk to their family about it. They don't know which friends will
that
listen.
That would be difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And how do you start a conversation with your friend about that? Hey, you know, I found out this and this and this. Where do you stand on it? Because that friend might be involved in it too, and you start a whole nother bag of worms.
Yes. It is important. One of the things we do talk with our women about is assessing, figuring out which people are the safest to talk to. Someone who can hold your confidence and listen well. Sometimes women try to talk to maybe a spiritual mentor or someone, and that person says, well, you just need to forgive him and let him move on. But oftentimes that is so true, and yet it's a process for her to get to that place. And she's not quite ready to actually do the full release. It becomes a premature forgiveness. And so what we want to do is help them work through the process of figuring out how to get well again. They may feel a lot of anxiety. Some women struggle with depression. And some other, maybe their diet swings off, they can't sleep well at night. So the first thing we want to do is help them feel a little bit normal again, help them protect parts of themselves and care for themselves in ways so that they can mourn this process properly and grow from it.
Sean, we don't have too much time left, but I'm going to ask you that same question concerning the male who might come. First steps.
The first steps for the men is to recognize that they can't keep this a secret and also get better. So they have to come in and start talking about it. So that's the same type of step in some ways as the spouse. Who's safe? You don't want to go to a friend who's like, oh, that's no big deal. We all do that, right? Who's going to take this seriously and begin the process of speaking to it and owning that this has become part of your life. I think there's a lot of the truth to the kind of the AA step of acknowledging that your life in some ways has become unmanageable. By that, I just mean this isn't going to be something that you can manage on your own and put away. Even if you're going about your day and it doesn't seem to have too many bad consequences, it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. And until you really begin to address it openly in the light, where the light of Christ can shine through his people and help you, we're not going to even begin the full healing process. So it's very important that they enter into a safe community.
Sean Maney is the executive director of First Light St. Louis. And Karen Kohlberg works with women and spouses concerning this whole issue of pornography and how to get through, how to get untrapped. Now, if people want more information about your ministry, where do they go and how do they start?
They can go to our website if they search First Light St. Louis. And on there, we have a contact page, and they can select from the drop-down menu what part of the ministry they're interested in or what kind of help and support that they need, and they will get connected to one of us.
Awesome. Sean and Karen, thank you so much for being my guests today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
That's firstlightstlouis.org. Today, we've met with Sean Maney, the executive director of First Light St. Louis, and Karen Kohlberg, who works right with him. They handle men and women, and maybe you are dealing with pornography, or maybe your spouse is dealing with pornography, and you suspect something might be happening. Don't be afraid to contact them. They're a safe place to go, and that's firstlightstlouis.org. I'm Judy Redlich. Thank you both for joining me today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Encounter.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Okay, sweetheart, I've turned on the nightlight, and here's Teddy.
Grandma, I love it when you tuck me in. You're my best friend. Don't ever leave me. I love you.
Electronic Caregiver helps seniors maintain independence and safety at home with their medical alert system. The smart wristband provides telehealth, medication reminders, and personalized messages. If an emergency occurs, loved ones can call for help by pushing the button. More information from Cheryl Wilson at 314-312-0034.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn.